gives me immense pleasure this morning to introduce our leadership development corporate speaker this morning. Her name is Karen Rogers. She's Vice President of U.S. Marketing for FedEx Corporate Services, which means she's responsible for the brand of FedEx here in the United States, for their advertising and for sponsorship. So the FedEx Cup, any of you golfers out there who continue that golf analogy, is one of her events that they sponsor. She's been with FedEx for 23 years, and she's held a variety of different positions within her time there. Prior to assuming her new role, which she did in February of 06, I believe it was, she was Vice President of Electronic Channel Marketing, which included overseeing their FedEx.com website. And how many visitors did you get per month?
It was like 18 million.
So big job. And one of the things we're most proud of is that she's also an MBA from the OWN Graduate School of Management. So she has sat in your seat and gone through the program and has a lot of insights to offer you. She is very dedicated to her employees, which I think you'll see through her presentation, as well as her customers. And I just learned this morning that she was the 2007 Executive Diversity Champion for FedEx. So without further ado, please help me give a big old welcome to Karen Rogers. Good morning.
Good morning.
So raise your hand if you've ever heard of FedEx. Hey, I've done my job, right? Building awareness. Well, I was just delighted to come today to from Memphis because it is about 3 degrees cooler here, actually. although it is Dead Elvis Week, if any of you would like to come for candlelight vigil, I still don't understand. They still do it. Yes, there's 30,000 folks there holding their candles up. But today, I really want to talk to you about something that I am very passionate about, and this really. And the leadership series is going to become your differentiator. So as a marketer, what's the most important thing is how you have a different value proposition than your competitor. The leadership dimension is what will make you special. This is what will get you the notice from the employers, like myself at FedEx. Because at FedEx, much like many companies, I mean, it is a complex environment. This is the environment that I'm forced to market because I have a number of operating companies, lots of constituents. There's 280,000 employees. We have $35 billion in revenue. And as services and the marketer for services, all those folks are wanting me to advertise their products, right? So they all think that they have the best value proposition and they want the time that they think they deserve on the TV. So it's about navigating in the complexity of this environment that really is something that you need to learn while you're here at OWN, because you're going to be faced with lots of complexity in the organizational environments when you get out here. And so the thing that makes it the most difficult at FedEx is the fact that we actually do manage collaboratively. So, and I think you'll hear a lot about collaboration and the importance of that as you develop your leadership while you're here for the next 3 years?
It'll feel like it.
Some of you may be here for 3 years. I understand you changed your grading system or something. Right? Okay. All right, so what I want to talk to you about today is really that leadership, it is a journey. Okay, I mentioned a mail this morning. I said, you know, 23 years ago, it's how long it's been since I walked these hallowed halls, that would I have listened to me? I would hope I would have listened to me if I was speaking about leadership, but I'm not so sure. Because, you know, you're getting your degree, you're getting your MBA, you're at Vanderbilt, great school. So what is it that I really need to learn? Well, I'm going to tell you all that in leadership, it's not something that you're going to get out of a book. I mean, you can study it, you can read about it, but it really is not something that these textbooks are going to give you in terms of what you need. The life experiences that you have and the way that you study those life experiences is really going to make the difference. Now, if you approach your life experiences and you just even in your teams while you're here at Owen, live in the here and now, and you're really not stepping back and studying it, almost like a research experiment. So when you're, if you're not doing that, you're not going to really get all the learning that you possibly could. Because there's an opportunity for you in those teams to observe. Spend time and listen to the people. Kind of watch the dynamics, the human dynamics. That's where you're really going to learn a lot. In terms of testing your leadership styles, if you're a team leader and you're working with a team, try different approaches. Right, because that is your leadership lab, is how you test and learn and experiment with your leadership style. You're going to get feedback. The last feedback that I have 360, I think you all will get 360s in the team, is about 9 months ago. I get them every year. So I'm a vice president, over 100 people, I still get feedback. And I still welcome that feedback, because you know what, I'm still learning. I'm a work in progress. As a matter of fact, I told one of my team members this week, I said, you know, I still haven't gotten it down pat walking on that water, but I'm working on it. Okay? I'm not perfect. None of us are. We're human. And because of that, you need that feedback so that you can continue to develop. And these instruments, the Hogan instrument, get everything that you can, because those really, in terms of tools, is your straight talk. Because it's hard as human beings to really look at someone face to face and say, you know what, you're not doing this right. You kind of want to make it a little nicer and say, well, I think you could grow if you did this. But the feedback you get will really be something that will be useful in terms of you developing. Observe leaders. There are good leaders and there really are bad leaders. So when you're working with teams or even people that you've worked with, think about that. Spend some time reflecting on it. Who are people that were really, really good that you felt motivated by, that you would have gone and really taken the hill with them? What did they have? What was that special stuff that they did that was different than the person that you said, I don't want to ever work with them again? You learn from the good and learn from the bad. Again, be a student of human behavior. Your ability to adapt and change is really, in the grand scheme of things, your grade as a leader. Because the moment that you think that you know it all, or the moment that you feel that you don't need to change or be flexible, or the moment that you want to spend your time looking at your BlackBerry or your phone, hey, I have ADD too, so it's okay. It's okay. But you need to be flexible and you need to change. So think about that. Think about it. I've had 12 jobs in my 23 years at FedEx. I average less than every 2 years a change. I love it. Because I know that if I've been in a job longer than that, everything in that job, guess what? I invented, or I feel that it's personally something that I have accountability for. It's something that I have my personal stamp on it. And guess what? If I invented it, or if I have my personal stamp on it, am I apt to think that something's wrong with it? No. I'm apt to think that it's pretty darn good because I invented it, right? Or I created it, or I endorsed it. And because of that, you need to think about your ability to change and adapt, because then you will come in as a leader bringing that X factor and taking the organization up to the next level and challenging things and looking at things differently. So as I started this morning, I said that your leadership to me really is going to dictate your success in business. That's your success on Wall Street. That's your success on Main Street. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be an investment banker, you want to be in IT. I'll tell you, the folks that move up, unless you want to always be a fantastic individual contributor, chained to your computer, working the data, doing great analysis, you're going to have to deal with human beings. right? You're not going to just deal with technology. So get this right now while you can, because right now you've got a great environment where you can test and learn, and the stakes really aren't that high. Once you take that first job, people will start branding who you are and how what is your leadership ability the day you walk in the door. Even if you're a professional, people will begin to assess you and think about whether or not you have potential. We calibrate all of our employees. I'm calibrated as a vice president, and you are put in a quadrant. You're either the low-performing quadrant, you're in a mid-tier quadrant, that means that you have potential, or you're in that upper quadrant. Guess who gets the best projects? Guess who gets the assignments that they really want, and guess who gets the most coaching? It's probably the mid-tier, but certainly that upper-tier group, and that's the group that you all want to be in. So when I was asked to pull some information together, I just took some nuggets of information that I've learned over the last several years and things that I have really acquired from working with people, because the best knowledge that I get is really the feedback that I have from my team members. And these are the keys in my mind of really being an effective leader. Knowing who you are, and knowing about yourself, and knowing the things that you're really, really good at from a behavior perspective and your personality, and knowing the things that you perhaps are challenged by, are really the most important things to do. I mentioned to Mel this morning that I've been assessed, and I know the thing that I'm weakest at as a marketing person, and as a leader, is I'm a horrible administrator. You wouldn't think someone would manage the kind of budget that I do, or nearly $300 million and 100 people, that should be a weakness that's okay. But you know what? I hire people that are really good at that, because I know that something, it's not that I can't do it, I don't like to do it. I really don't like doing all of the annual budget things that we have to do. They're required. But I realized a long time ago that that's not something that I really wanted to do. So again, know your weaknesses as well as understanding your strengths. You have to care about your people. It's not about you. It really isn't. They know if you want to get ahead at their expense. They know it. We're human beings. We've been taught with this innate sense if somebody's in it for themselves, as opposed to really genuinely caring about me. When's the last time that you really wanted to follow someone that wanted themselves to look good? Any of you? What about if you followed someone that wanted to make yourself look good? Right? That's who you want to follow. Those are the kind of leaders, because you know they care about you. You have to create a vision, and you need to be able to communicate it. And different people learn differently, right? Or they understand things differently. Some people like a lot of pictures. Some people like a lot of words. Some people like music. There's just people that like it differently. So you have to be able to adapt. Character goes without saying. I mentioned this morning that this is the one thing, when I was talking to Mel, that you carry with you. This is your personal brand. And your character should be above reproach. Surround yourself with talented people. And that goes with your teams as well. You have to make a difference and give back. Find the right fit, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, and make two-step moves. So this is kind of the model. Not very complicated. At the center is knowing yourself, right? So these are some of the things I've already talked about in terms of knowing yourself. I think the main thing is that last point about being transparent. You know, it's okay when you learn a lot of stuff about yourself in these assessment tools for you to share that information with others, because then they understand you. And reaching understanding about one another is really a fundamental of trust in any trusting relationship, right? So be transparent, be open, and share. All these other things are certainly important as well. caring about your people. I've mentioned several of these. I think one of the things, though, that, again, talking about the straight talk, when you are a leader, you have to tell people when they're not doing a good job. So when you guys are working on teams, if someone's not carrying their load, you've got to be honest with them. Cover it up for someone. You're not doing anyone any favor because they're not growing, they're not developing, they're not understanding that they're not getting it done. Be a coach. Who knows the difference in being a coach and being a manager? Give me some difference, some characteristics of a coach. Somebody, anybody. Be a coach.
They encourage.
They develop. They develop you.
They facilitate the learning.
They facilitate learning.
They motivate.
They motivate.
Yeah, a manager manages the resources that you have. A coach takes you in an entirely new direction.
You set the direction.
A coach helps you see your vision.
That's right. You set the vision. What else? Anybody else on coach?
Maximize talent.
Maximize the talent.
More approachable.
They're more approachable. All of these are the kinds of things that you want to be, right? So think about, as a leader, and you're sitting there going, but I'm not a leader. I'm sitting there going, I got to take these classes and stuff. But you are going to be a leader. You are going to be on teams. You are going to be working with people. Think about yourself as a coach, right? That's your role if you are a leader. Acknowledge success. I'm big on this one. I acknowledge everyone's successes, and I like to celebrate. Because I'm enthusiastic. That's just kind of my DNA, but you know, people like that. Because people want to work on a team that's successful. It's contagious. You get the best people if they think that you are successful, right? So one of the first things I do when I join a new team as the leader, I make sure we have a quick win. Something is a quick win because you know what? Everyone starts talking about it. It becomes contagious. And then everyone says, wow, that's a really successful group. They really do a lot of things. I want to be part of that because I want to be successful as well. And if you don't feel like when things go really, really well for your employees or they go poorly in terms of their success or their failure, that it's your responsibility, you're not really being an effective leader. Because you have to have your heart in this stuff. You have to really care. You guys talked a lot about this in terms of the model for a coach. But the one thing that I did want to say here is stay out of the weeds. As a leader, the first thing that you do that your folks will really push back on you is if you try to get in the details. You say, well, I'm a quant jock. I can run that model. I'm going to get in here and do this, and I'm going to show you how. Well, guess what you've just done? You basically said to that individual, you don't respect them, you don't value them, and you're smarter than them. So stay out of the weeds. That's not your job as a leader. Your job as a leader is set the direction, motivate the team, move the team ahead. Right? Not being in the weeds. And then the four D's on this. The reason that this is important, and do start learning this now, is as a leader, the higher up you go in the organization, the one thing that's the most valuable thing that you have is your time. Your time should be precious to you. You need to be able to prioritize. I mean, there are things that come across my desk, and I can't get it in the trash fast enough. And I don't open them much. Probably 70% of my email I never open. If I'm getting all kinds of emails, I don't need to know this information. I'm not going to read this information. Do I have people that are supposed to handle this information? Absolutely. They can handle it. I'm not worried about that because I've got other things that are much bigger, much more important that I have to do. Okay? That's something that I did. That was the hardest lesson for me to learn coming out of school because they don't spend a lot of time talking to you about this, and it sounds so fundamental. But practice it now. Delete all the emails that you get from your professors. See what would happen. You can, but you didn't. they've had that thing called grades, I guess, but as an approach. But certainly manage your time, learn it now, because it's a tough lesson later on when you get into the working world. Character, I've already mentioned a number of these things. I think the main thing is, and certainly as a team member in school practicing this, you're known by how well you keep your commitments. You tell someone you're going to do something, do it. If you tell them that you're going to be there at a point in time, be there at a point in time. Because you know what? When you don't, again, you're not showing respect for that individual. And be courageous. If you're not taking any risk, you're really not adding significant value. Choose the right people. So those of you that are going to be leading a group, or when you get out of school and you're managing folks, the nest, does anybody know what a nested doll is? What are we talking about? What's a nested doll?
We stack inside each other.
The Russian dolls, you know, the little dolls that you build up. If you hire people that are have less skills than yourself or lack interpersonal skills, what you will find is your organization's power and effectiveness will only be as good as at least common denominator on that team. Right? Because that person actually will drag down the team. So what you need to do is hire up. Hire people or have people on your teams that are smarter than you. They're smarter than you. Because as a leader, your job is not to be the smartest. It's not your job. Hire people that have better technical acumen than you do. That's okay. That's actually all right for you to do that. Because what they will end up doing is the team itself will be much more effective. Remember what I said before about success being contagious? Then more bright people are going to want to be on that team. Does any of us want to lead a team of people that are not bright? No. So again, think about choosing the right people. This is the most important decision that you will ever make as a leader. You make a mistake, trust me, you live with it a very long time. Particularly when you're at my level and you're hiring people in management. Because not only are they messing up their role, but all the people that are working for them. So choose the right people, absolutely critical. And similar with a coach. Does a coach want anybody on the team that can't run the ball? They're playing football? No. I mean, does Tiger Woods want to use an inferior club? Wish he would, because then somebody else would have a chance. But anyway, emotional intelligence. There was a group of us that we were asked as marketers to come into the school and talk to the school about what we were looking for in MBA students coming out of Owen School. We thought we differentiated the school. What would make Owen the most desirable school for recruiters? Any of you all want jobs when you get out? Thank you. Well, the kinds of things that we listed as what we said was the X factor, really all those things were was emotional intelligence. I mean, we assume when you get out of this program that you've got technical acumen, that you can run an Excel spreadsheet. We assume that you can understand finance or that you know the keys of the P's of marketing and all the technical things. But the thing that we look for when we're hiring you is going to be these other, the soft skills. Value everyone on the team. Some of this stuff goes without saying, but you know, we kind of forget it. And I can't say it enough about valuing diversity. It's not just diversity in how we look. It's also value diversity in terms of how people think. Because that's the power of the team. If you have people that are different. They have different skills, and together you're going to come up with a much more eloquent solution than if you hire people that all think just like you. And that's an easy thing to do as a leader of a team, because guess what? It's reaffirming that all these people sitting in this room look like me, or they talk like me, or they think like me. And guess what? You might as well be sitting there with the mirror, talking to yourself in the mirror, and just have this meeting. Decide what we want to do, because that's what you're going to get back. So get diversity in your teams and be inclusive. You have to add value as a leader. So it's not just about you hiring all the great people, you promoting them. You've got to make a difference. Otherwise, I don't know why you're there, right? You can easily be replaced. So what you want to understand as a leader, a lot of what you're doing is navigating all of the organizational complexities that you're going to find in any environment. And nobody talks about this, but every company, I don't care if there's 5 people, or if there's 500 people, or 5,000, there's going to be politics. So that's why I said that you be a good student of human behavior. Because that's how you learn about politics. You have to observe. You have to be able to read the tea leaves and understand who's got the power and what people really want and how are you going to be able to have impact. Because you're not going to have impact by yourself. You're going to have others help you have impact. Because otherwise, trust me, they will derail you in a corporate environment. You have a great team, a great mission, a great cause, and you can be absolutely, positively right, and you'll be undermined. So this one is really important in terms of anticipating the obstacles, removing the barriers, because that's what people are looking for you to do. You have to be able to sell. You got to sell your ideas. And I'm not using the marketing term. I'm using the word selling, because it's really about you being able talk about an idea in a creative way that is compelling and engaging. It's very different than just pure marketing. And you've got to sell your people. Because people will look at you and the organization based on not what you've personally done, what you did in leadership. They're going to be asking the question, how many people did you get promoted in the last 18 months? That's going to be how you're going to be judged. So you have to be able to sell your people. Positive outlook. You know, if you're Debbie Downer, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be tough for you to be a leader. Because you have to be able to be the positive force in that organization and always believe that it can be done. Because you've got to be looking for the creative ways to make it happen. Because that's how you're making the difference. If you're making stupid decisions, people aren't going to follow you anyway, but you need to have a solid basis for your decisions and look for the win-wins. This last thing is not something a lot of corporate folks talk about, but it is something that I certainly believe in, because as a leader, you are a model for others. People look at you, they watch what you do, they won't ever say it, but if you're not setting the right example in terms of how you feel about the community and how you are making a personal difference, then why should they care? So do it now and really think through how you can make an impact locally and in the community, because this is something where you can really change people's lives. If you want to really test and learn your leadership ability, there are tons of agencies here in Nashville that could use your help. And you can really mold your leadership right now getting involved with many of these much-needed charities. So, final thing I'm going to talk about, how am I doing on time? Okay. Is finding the right fit. The finding the right fit, this is just some Karen Rogers philosophy on this, but I do think it's really important. And the reason that I've been at FedEx for 23 years is you have to choose a company that aligns with your values. But when you get out of school, it's not just about making the money. It's also about feeling good when you go home every day. Because if you don't feel good when you go home every day, ultimately that's going to undermine your effectiveness. All right? Because you have spent more time at your job than you are anywhere else. So make sure that you're interviewing these companies to align with your values, your personal values, what you care about. The other reason this is important is because if you've been a great finance student several years ago, and you went to work for a company called Enron, right? What does that do for your marketability down the road? You're a black sheep. Doesn't matter if you have great integrity. All of a sudden, you're affiliated with something, you know, that was very negative. So you need to make sure that you're looking at the brand, and what does that brand represent of the companies you're working for? I don't care if it's on Wall Street. If these guys are known as crooks, guess what? You're going to be labeled a crook, even if you're a very honest person. So make sure that you choose the company wisely. Be flexible, embrace change. I've already talked about that. And remember, your career is really a marathon. You know, it's not a sprint. It's not about you getting out of school and you taking that job, you know, and just running really hard, and that's the end of it. You're through the race, or once you get your piece of paper, you're done. You're always learning. Always learning. And so be sure that you're always planning ahead. And finally, the point I wanted to make was around two-step moves. Anybody here play chess? What's important for chess? Planning. Planning ahead.
Yeah.
You probably plan more than two steps, don't you?
Yes.
You're probably planning several moves down the road, and you're also doing some scenario planning. You need to do that with your career as well. You know, if you're making a one-step move, I'll tell you a perfect example of what I think of as a one-step move, so you all, it'll make it clear to you. There was a gentleman that worked for me that was just dying to get promoted. He was a manager, and he couldn't understand why he couldn't move up to the next level, which was a director position. He was impatient. He was talented. He had all the right skills. He wanted that title. So he was a marketing person, though. So as a marketing person, he decided he would go for a director title, and he went to work for an energy company. Does anyone here know why a marketing person would have trouble working at an energy company? And this was like a utility, to make it clear. You know why? Why?
Because everyone needs it anyway. And what do you market?
Exactly. Exactly. So guess what? When you're if you're a marketing person, do not go work for a monopoly. Don't go work for a monopoly. Because they don't need you. They really don't need you. So guess what? 6 months later, he's laid off. That was a one-step move. He wasn't planning ahead. He wasn't thinking ahead. And I think today, the time that you're going to spend with the leadership program is extremely important for you, because that, if you vest yourself in this, you are truly going to make a two-step move. Right? You're going to say that, I know I've got all this coursework, but I also know that I'm going to be a leader someday. I'm not going to be a data slave the rest of my life. So I better get this stuff now so that I can use this and make a two-step move. The other thing is, planning ahead, is if you are highly effective in developing yourself, guess what? Even in school, you're going to find that people are going to want you on their team. You're going to get to work on the better teams. So there's a payoff now. But most importantly, the payoff is later. I just wanted to share with you the values of FedEx. This is in writing. This is nothing that I've made up. This is what we value as a company. You see, in many of the things that I've talked about, is my philosophy does align well with FedEx's philosophy. And simply put, our promise, and it's called our purple promise, is that I will make each and every FedEx experience outstanding. What that means, it's not just I will make every customer experience, each interaction outstanding. So I'd like to challenge you all today to make a promise that you will make each and every Owen experience outstanding. Thank you.